Mobile.
4NUE Mobile.
Good in Auburn. I guess it is good in Auburn this afternoon. Chad, how you doing, my friend?
That's about all I know in German, Tom.
But you're in a doghouse anyways. Bill said you didn't invite me up to the November 13th thing, and I just feel offended. Don't you feel offended, Bruce?
No. Well, let's fix that right now. Right now. You don't have to invite. You don't have to be invited. You just come. And we're gonna have, let me get through this mess here, Tom. Let me, I'll come back to this in a second. I am so frustrated this morning. This bobcat down here, you can't get parts. I have been all over Spartanburg County trying to get hydraulic hoses made. I've been to three different hydraulic places. For a number 6 45 degree crimp on connector, which is really common. Yeah, we're out, and it's gonna be a month, 3 to 4 weeks before we can get any back in stock. And I just do not understand. I mean, I understand what's happening, but man, how frustrating is this going on. I mean, goodness.
And it's a Chinese plot to go along with the COVID. They're bankrupting us. Shoot. Well, the only thought that I would have is if you know somebody in the construction business, you know, Liston and Clark or Black and Veatch or something like that. I don't know if there's any of those around here, but that's some of the biggies back home. Or if somebody in an industry around here that works on forklifts and stuff like that, they might have something like that, Chad.
Into Klein's. Klein, hose and clutch and hydraulics. And Carolina hose and hydraulics. And Napa. And I guess what's happening is the fitting is so common that they've used them all up and cannot get a resupply. And I have spent every bit of 4 hours on the customer's time trying to find these parts. So he's sitting at about $80 in hydraulic fittings that have not been made yet. So I'm just going to contact him and let him kind of know what's going on. But, I mean, 3 weeks. Jeez. And then I went to the Bobcat store to get parts for the Bobcat that was not hydraulic hose related. And had to order 2 parts that they didn't have. And it's 7 days. 7 days. I don't know, man. It's frustrating.
Well, yes, exceptionally so. And, you know, what makes it really hard for me to believe is how could we get that far behind when all this construction going on around, and boy, a bobcat's almost common as a hammer. Would someplace like Sunbelt or one of those rim companies, would they be willing to accommodate you on that?
I know a guy that's on Sunbelt down on Greer. I'm gonna talk with a customer first, and then depending on what he says, I'll start trying to pull some tricks out of my hat. But the issue is that the belly pan had to come off of the thing to get to the hoses, and I've got the belly pan off, which is not an easy thing to do. So what goes back in there as a replacement has to be spot on, because the amount of work just to get to it. So I'm gonna start pulling some resources here in a day or two, I guess. But I'm gonna have to talk with him, see kind of what he wants to do. But I was telling Patrick a while ago that my dad's got the same machine this guy that's dropped the Bobcat off in the shop. Same machine. And the fan tower went out on Dad's probably two years ago, maybe 3 years ago. So I just went down to Bobcat and picked up another one. It's about $400, close to $400. And I mean, that's a lot of money to pay. Well, the customer's, his fan tower's going out too, so I'll just pick one up while I'm down there at Bobcat. It's over $1,000 for the same gearbox I bought two and a half years ago that cost $400. What is happening?
Like Marie said, we just stopped here at Wade Hampton. $3.09 a gallon for gas. I think you can answer that question, but who caused all that? But I won't get into that. But it's just crazy. Boy, that's 2.5 times what you get for the original. I don't know, Chad. And, you know, you're dealing with probably 1,500 to 3,000 PSI and jury rigging it in a case like that. If there was room, and there usually isn't, is usually not an option.
I mean, I can't afford to... for what it took to get this thing apart. I thought, well, you know, I've got a couple of used hoses. I'll do this and do that and then try to get by. But I'm not going to do that because, you know, 2 weeks from now and a used hose blows, then I got to eat it. And I'm just going to tell him, here's what it is. It is what it is. And you know, you tell me how you want to proceed, and if you think you can do any better, you go right ahead. But it's just frustrating. And I also telling Patrick this morning, I stopped and got some stuff for supper tonight. Bought a onion. Didn't think a thing about one onion, about the size of a baseball. And didn't realize it till I got in the car. $2.59. Or an onion. And I told Patrick I'm gonna stay at home. I'm not going out anymore. I'm so frustrated.
Oh, well, when you said that, I thought you was talking about a line isolator on an antenna, and I thought, boy, that's a bargain. Shoot. Well, we're going down Highway 14 here now. If there's somewhere I could stop and ask about that part, I'd be more than happy to, Chad. There is a Napa store we just passed, and Sunbelt has, like the JLGs and stuff like that, the Condor lifts. Ours was called a Condor back up in Kansas, but I ran a lot of JLGs too when I worked at different places. But if I knew the nomenclature on it and that, I'd be glad to stop for you.
I found what I need on eBay. And probably what I'm going to end up doing is just purchasing the number 6. It's a number 6 45 degree, but I need 6 of them. That's the problem, is that one store's got one, and then the other store's got one, and then the Carolina Hose and Hydraulics, he just refused me at the counter. He says, I just don't have them. And it's going to be, it'll be 4 weeks before we can get any in. We've had them on order for a week. He says, I got one customer in here that's got a 2-inch hydraulic line for an excavator. And he said it's going to be the end of December or the 1st of January before I can get it back to him for a hose, because I just cannot get the stuff I need to repair it. And I mean, I'm not frustrated at him. It's not his fault. It's just, I mean, this is crazy.
0TR with KL4NUE. Yeah, Chad, it is, and I know from being in maintenance for years, two-inch hydraulic line, you better have a pocket full of change with you just buy one.
Maybe an option, too, is just purchase the whole hose from Bobcat at three times the price. And, you know, I don't want this to sound harsh, and I don't mean it that way. I try to, well, let me word it this way. Somebody hires you to do something, you try to be careful with their money and not waste their money. But, I mean, I guess at this point, it's going to come down to, can you do without it or not? You're going to lose more money waiting on the parts to make a hose than it is if you just go buy a new hose. You know, I mean, you'll have to make that decision. I'm not in his shoes, but I just have to tell him that here's what I'm facing, which direction you want to go with this. And that's all I can do, really, because I don't want to blow his money.
There's no, doesn't sound like there's any solving of that ambiguity. It's just not your fault. It's just the way things are right now. It's pretty hard to understand. Well, Bernice and I are headed down to Amy's, to the daughter's, and she had a dog operated on this morning. Might as well have been a human for what it cost. But they love their doggies and take good care of them. Had a torn ACL. Well, Scott gave me the dog box the other day to haul the chickens in and bring them home from Flat Rock. And he said, keep it. We don't need it anymore. Well, guess what? They need it now. because she's convalescing, I guess you'd say. But that's what we're up to right now. And then we're going to go back and buy some more rocks on the way home, some of them little white rocks. Maurice has a project going. This is N0TR.
I'm in and out of the repeater, so I'm up here at the Landrum. And I got to see what's going on with Dad. He's tore something up on the Bobcat, so I'm bouncing between two of them today. So let me get on. I'm 7-3s, and Miss Bernice, you have a wonderful day. And I'll give you a holler next time I see you. I'll talk to you later. KL4NUE, I'm clear.
There's the War Department. She wants to say hi to you. Okay, Chad. And, Landrum sucks. It's just really bad up there on transmitting or receiving. I don't even try it when I get close. A good place to stop and get a nice for lunch. 73's, Chad. Good luck on that. KL4NUE and 0TR. Clear.
This 74NGU.
Car with third-party traffic.
Hi, Phil.
Oh, hey to you too, Tom. About Saturday night.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, it was great. There was a nice group of people there.
And we had plenty of leftovers for the neighbors and everybody, and I dropped off some up at Chad's house for him because they was just getting over that COVID stuff, and he was headed up to the camp, and he wasn't there, so I just stuck it in his truck, and he said those chocolate cupcakes with the whipped cream on top that Bernice made with the cherry on top of that, that somehow Anna never did seem to know anything about those.
Sure, he didn't know what happened to them.
Zipper nuisance are little old quarter-sized things that you just kind of use those for a snack. And he said those got accidentally dropped in a sandwich bag and kind of taken along with him, too.
Just, what was that?
Zipper nuisance. Don't ask me to spell it. I could never do it. They're little quarter-sized things, and they're really good. But I ate some before breakfast the other morning, and I didn't realize that they have quite a bit of pepper in them. And pepper doesn't agree with me at times.
But I'm glad it agrees with me. So they're quarter size, so they're small but big on taste, huh?
Yeah, I'd say so. If you take your trigger finger and touch your knuckle, they're about that big around, your knuckle on your thumb. And I don't know, what are they, is there another name for them, Bernice?
Pepper nuts.
I like pepper, too. I eat pepper because I can't eat salt anymore very much. But at any rate, they're really, really good. And this old boy in this truck in front of me had to laugh. It says, ox bodies, as strong as an ox. It's a big old dump truck. Go ahead, Phil.
I knew a guy that had one of those. He didn't do a whole lot of roofing. He did kind of everything on a house. And when he needed to get rid of roofing squares and stuff, that was the right thing. But he got rid of it. He said, man, I had to buy me a trailer. The insurance on a truck like that will eat you alive unless you keep it on the road.
What about that? But, he just threw the rock out and hit my bumper. I'm glad it wasn't my windshield. I wish I'd catch one on my Avalon. It's got, if you're going into the sun, you know, it's got little bitty tiny things like sand that have hit it over the years, and I wouldn't mind having a new one, but two different times in my life I've been behind trucks, and I keep a goodly distance because they're good about breaking windshields.
Dangerous to follow behind a truck. I know friends say, oh yeah, I love to find a big truck and get behind it. I said, you're crazy.
Yeah, we used to do that on motorcycles until I had one of them slam on the brakes one day in front of me, and he did it on purpose. I worked at Learjet for a few months when I first got out of high school, and I'd get in behind him because out there in western Kansas, out there by Wichita, or central Kansas, I had a bar mount fairing on that 250cc bike. It wasn't very heavy. And I'd get blowed off the road at times by the wind coming across the prairie. So I'd get in behind one of them, and you got a lot better gas mileage, and it was a lot more comfortable. They didn't always like that.
Like dangerous business. Something you said reminded me of something else. I've got a friend that's been last week and this week until Saturday in Buffalo, Wyoming. And, of course, he had a bunch of tickets out there to shoot stuff, and everybody in their party has gotten a big antelope. And, but, man, he sent me some pictures. Snow 3 feet deep on a patio table out back. It's unbelievable. And it's just October.
Pictures of snow in Flagstaff this morning, I think it was, in Arizona. It wasn't a great deal, but they were all jumping up and down because they're ready to go skiing. Well, my son-in-law, he didn't get a elk this year, did he? I don't think. He's gotten several over the years. I guess drawing a tag anymore is like hitting the lottery on elk. But he did get that hog. I sent you that picture of that wild hog, didn't I, Phil?
Absolute whopper. Man, you are strong on direct. I'm on 85 at marker 58.
14 and Pelham headed south on Batesville Road. I don't doubt that. I don't know what the power on this one's set on. Because I never looked down. Oops, they got some road construction or something up here. We're taking the dog box over to Amy's. Her dog had ACL surgery for $3,500 today. Wow, might as well have been a human, huh?
No. That's a lot for an animal, but they gave us a $150,000 bill for Teresa's surgery last year. They've gotten real proud of surgery.
Thank God for good insurance.
Wow.
Yeah, just using the emergency room one time, I think it was $19,000 for me. And it just, it's unreal. Well, I had a PSA test come back a little bit high a few days ago. It was 4.2, and it should have been, it's always been 2.4, so kind of watching that. And I had a precancerous thing on my head where I broke the chicken pin. It was probably fortunate I did, because it was hurting, and I had an appointment with the dermatologist today, and man, when he used that cold stuff on there, I'm telling you, he likes to torture me with that thing anyways, you know, with that liquid nitrogen. I always tell him that. You like to hurt me. But in reality, I'm glad I did bump it now, because it brought it to light. It's just on the back of my pointed head back there, and had that taken off. That's the only issue that's come up lately, but they said not to worry too much about the other. But they do that type of surgery, the prostate surgery, with a robot anymore.
And they don't do it past age 74, because my dad's got problems, just diagnosed in that area, and he's 90. And they kind of laughed, and they said, we don't do it past 74, which blows my mind. But first time I had a PSA test a few years back, it came back 0.25, and she said, we need to do it over, something went wrong. So they did it again, and it was 0.25, and even now it's 0.5, so I'm pretty low in that department.
A lot of them say they don't even do it routinely anymore, but they're going to check mine again in 6 months. But it had been way below the 4. I think that's where they start saying it's going a little high or something for years and years and years. You know, once it popped up there to 4.2, but I asked that dermatologist, I said, that have anything to do with that thing on my head? And he says, nope, that's just prostate only. Prostate specific antigen, I think is what they call that test. But at any rate, my doctor said more guys die with it than are diagnosed with it even, that it's real slow. But I don't want it. Went through that with my cyst on colon cancer. I don't want any type of that, but it seems like it's more common all the time, don't it?
Sure does. I thought you were kidding about the point on your head. You actually had a piece of bone taken off or something?
No. If you took your left hand and reached up and touched the back of your head on top, I don't know. Bernice never says anything bad. I was going to say she said I had a pointed head anyways. But I do wear 7 5/8. But that's where it was at. And I had raised up and bumped it twice, trying to round these little chickens up with a hook. And I ain't doing that no more. And hit this tube before. And boy, my head was swollen up back there for almost 2 weeks. I thought, well, that's too long. So I had him check it, and he said it was a precancerous spot there. And he burned it off with liquid nitrogen. But I know a lot of people, when they get melanoma, they'll take a chunk out of you if need be. I don't want that.
Take whatever they need, because I've had several friends that passed with skin cancers, and it'll get you, as the proverbial doornail, it'll get you. So I go to the dermatologist every year.
Roger, I go every 6 months, and he said that if it didn't disappear in 4 to 6 weeks to come back. So anyway, it's easy when you're mining rock, it'll probably be fine. He said it'll form a scab and fall off, so I hope so. But he's really good. Dr. Rogers is mine, Phil.
That's who I go to, and he's gotten real ornery in the last few years. I know a number of patients that have quit him. I don't know what's going on in his mind. Even the nurses will admit it. He's good, so I'm not changing, but he ain't the guy he was 10 years ago. I don't know why he's just aggravated with you. And I turned my hands over one time, you know, because he looks at both sides of them, if I can talk. And he's, I tell you, wouldn't turn your hands over. And, okay, no problem.
They have bad days like everybody else, but there's no call for that. I've had a few doctors like that. And the worst one was when he told Bernice, he says, well, I almost died that time, which has been about four times with me, but I was real close. And he said, don't marry that guy. He's not going to live that long. You know, they need to keep that kind of stuff to themselves.
Ridiculous. I had a couple little bumps in my scalp and got worried about it. Went over there. He said, just stay away from him. There's nothing. He called it a barnacle. He can't really see them. But I was all worried about that till I found out it was nothing.
Yeah, I don't mind going at all. He is good, and he's really sharp. I like his bow ties, and he's friendly. Always kidding about liking to hurt me with that nitrogen, but I've never had it done, but two or three times I had something on my ear one time, and he said, that's precancerous. Boy, that thing stings, but nothing bad. But I bet he never spent 3 minutes with me this morning, maybe five at the most. Most of that was spent while he counted down while he was using that nitrogen. But you know what? I went to him once for a little breaking out, and I asked, I don't know, what, three or four different people, doctors, nurses, urgent cares, what that was, because it seemed to keep spreading on my right calf. And he diagnosed that the very first time, and we researched it and gave me some salve in a tube and some shampoo. He says, okay, you use that. At first, it was quite a bit, but he says, you use that every two or three days now and use it the rest of your life. I asked him down there, the first time I had it filled was at Walmart, and I went back to get a second prescription of it, and Joyce started to charge me for that again. I said, hey, Joyce, he's a pharmacist down there. I said, I was supposed to get that for the rest of my life. And he says, yeah, right.
I never heard of anything you didn't get charged for again. Rogers is hitting me a couple of times with that spray thing, and yeah, it just stings for a few minutes, but I thought, you know, between annual checkups, I'll just get me some of that electronic component spray. I know you know what I'm talking about. And I ordered me a big can from Amazon, but reading on the can, it doesn't get near as cold as what he had. So joke was on me, but I thought I was going to treat myself between visits.
You're free on, and I think you're talking 130, 40 degrees below zero, but that liquid nitrogen, you'd have to look it up, but it's probably more near the 300 degree below zero. We had it at work, and whenever they'd order it, they shrink bearings with it. I had to actually take a mole off of the assistant superintendent one day with it. I don't want to do that, Larry. He says, you do what I tell you. And he said, it'll be fine. And he didn't want to go to the doctor and pay for it. But it was funny because that stuff, even in that great big huge container we had, was probably 6 foot tall and 3 foot in diameter. It was still vent. So I don't know how long it would stay in there. But it was really cold, and the coldest I ever seen, I went through a satellite facility at Ball Aerospace in Boulder, Colorado, and they had liquid helium, And I guess that stuff can creep out through the porosity in that metal steel tank, or stainless steel, whatever it is. It's that small molecules, Phil, that it actually, you can't store it for long periods of time, and it's very expensive. They used it in the aging process of stuff that was going into outer space.
Good grief. That component cooler sure does work. I know you know all about aircraft, and when I worked at the downtown airport and did some avionics, we had a big styrofoam chest that we'd put in and heat stuff up to simulate electronic equipment sitting on the runway at 160 degrees, you know. And then when it got up in the air and it quit working because of cold, we'd use that coal spray. Of course, I had some of that around the house. I'd used that for years repairing electronics. But temperature will eat up some good equipment.
It sure will. Yeah, I always have it on hand. And you can do the same thing with AeroDuster from Sam's Club or Costco's. Just invert the can. And you got to watch the little spigot. Sometimes it goes flying. But just invert it, and it'll do the same thing. And I've used that a lot. Well, my uncle was in charge of, he was an inspector, put it that way. And they would age these things and of course they were using back then discrete components. They didn't have surface mount devices for the most part. And TTL integrated circuits and stuff like that, and RTL logic and different things of that nature. And they would age it like for 100 years, and I don't remember now, so I may be exaggerating, but because in outer space everything's way down below zero, and they'd actually test things that way. So they'd get in 10,000 resistors or whatever, and they'd check every single one of them before it was ever used for that purpose. They were launching a environmental satellite. I think it was CRES or something like that, CRESS or something. And he actually went down to Cape Canaveral and got to watch the launch. But that was fascinating. I actually got to lift one side of a satellite. I had to put a poopy suit on, you know, one of them white suits and all that. But he says, lift up on that, and it was honeycombed. And I was virtually fascinated by it.
Do that. You know, my uncle sent the shots to the moon with NASA. And I always regretted not taking some vacation time and seeing those Saturns go up and then the space shuttles. But with all the flurry of activity, had one even today, the one Kirk was on, I promised myself to go down there and watch one of those shots, because I never have seen that go off.
It goes for me, too. I'd love to go down there and just go through the museum, because I've seen the dimensions and stuff on those Saturn rockets, and then they got one laying on its side, and it'd be really neat to see one go off, and I would be just thrilled to death to see the shuttle, you know, back then come in and land. Maurice and I stood right next to the runway when one of the very first A380 Airbuses flew to the United States. We were standing right beside actually a short runway up at Oshkosh. I think it was 4,800 feet. And he had the most crosswind. It was just incredible that he'd even bring it in there on that runway. I forget why he couldn't use the main one, but it was because of the crosswind, I'm sure. But when he landed that thing, he crapped it in, if you know what I mean, with the nose pointing one way and the aft section the other. And when he hit the ground, that rudder on that thing went full deflection in the other direction, and he reversed those motors almost instantaneously. That plane only had about 14 or 15 people aboard, and all the rest of it was flight test gear. But you get next to one of them A380s, it's pretty incredible.
It is. I've got in a safe deposit box, obviously, don't keep them at home. They gave the engineers 5 pounds of metal on their shots to make commemorative coins. And I've got coins that have been to the moon, and I've got coins that were made from some of the metal from Skylab when they recycled it. And they gave them a patch every time they had anything to do with a moonshot or a major shot. And I got a jacket with patches all over the front and back. And if I go down there, I'm going to be wearing that. And I will be asked who I am.
That's wonderful. I got something crawling on me over here, I think. I remember Skylab when we went to the Aerospace Museum, I think 3 times in the Marine, something like that, and in Washington. And they had Skylab there, and the line was so long, I didn't go through it. I was right up under it. But that was an incredible thing back then. But I can't imagine that in comparison to this International Space Station now. Wow. It's phenomenal what they've done. I just wonder how all of this shortages and stuff's going to affect the NASA and things like that, because even they are subjected to availability stuff.
I'm sure the weights are really, like, can you imagine the way they overpay for stuff, how they're overpaying for it now? Well, my uncle said for years, he's deceased now, but he said, we're going to have a problem, boys. You're firing the senior guys that know how things work, and you're hiring kids out of college who are not dumb, but they just don't have the experience. We're going to have a problem. And he didn't say that for just a few years, and the space shuttle blew up.
Diacol, Spartan, fault is what I meant to say. Diacol's fault fell. The launching in a below freezing situation there was really dumb, but I find it hard to believe that they wouldn't have encountered that eventually anyways. I think there was a design flaw there in those seals. But, I work with an old electrician. I'll tell you what. Not on the radio. What his saying was about that. But we would get in guys operating machine tools that were massive. We had one that would turn a 100,000-pound bearing, and when it got done, it was 80,000 pounds. And that isn't the largest, but that's one of the largest ones I ever seen. And they had a new guy on it. And I had just installed a new Mitsubishi CMC drive on it. It was 100-horse DC motor on it. And but just this new drive was the newest Mitsubishi out there. And $300,000 or so. And I told him, I said, you don't want to put that guy on there. I said, he's young and he knows a lot, but, you know, it wasn't, I don't know. And they come and got me and said, oh, the machine goofed up, Tom. And I think it was trying to look for a maintenance fault on it, you know, blame me for it. And the head, which are huge, they were probably 10 inches in diameter with the cutters in them, were huge. It had taken off in rapid traverse and ran into that bearing. And my boss happened to be back there at the same time, but he didn't know an amp from a volt, Phil. And I tried to tell him if that machine, it wasn't like the old one. The old one was a Moog computer on it. You know, it was analog to digital conversion through op amps, and it had very special chips in it that you couldn't buy anyplace else except from, like, Signetics and places like that. And I all the time was having to work on it, and it was up on the head of the machine where it caught all the vibration. I told him, I said, if that machine is moving along, there's a lag error from the commanded signal to the received signal back, and they sent that at so many counts, like the old moog was 4,000 counts. If that head runs away and its position is different than its physical position, it automatically shuts the machine down. And they're so much better on those modern machines than they were the old ones. They could run away. And this kid kept trying to tell them that, and we had a factory man say, no, that's impossible. Can't happen. But I'm glad of that, because any time something like that would happen, well, they try to blame it on the electrician, you know.
Oh, yeah, that was convenient. All right, my friend, I'm home in the driveway. I need to get in, and was hoping to catch you this morning, but I didn't hear you. But we'll talk to you a little bit further down the log. That would be forward, never give up, clear.
Great to hear you, Phil. Anytime. Yeah, I talked to Bill in 4WHM quite a while, and he had a headache, and his sinuses were bothering him. But other than that, he was in good shape and enjoyed that on the way to the doctor's office. I think Wade Hampton, like Dave says, CPA says, it's the new Woodruff Boulevard anymore. Seen one wreck on the way down. You take care, Phil, and say hello to wife. W4NGU and 0TR is now QRT and out of the truck.
See ya. Radio check.
Radio check. The repeater, no joy. You're way too weak. If you got more power, use it. And if you're on a handy talkie or something, you need to move. I'll go one more transmission. I have to get out. This is N0TR. My name's Tom.
From 2 Tango.
Go ahead and see if you can copy this, gentlemen. I need to get out and help get this dog box out of the bag. I'll be back in a little while. N0TR.
Listen for him and see if he comes in there and everything, but and also station trying, give it another try.